Good morning. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, that you've come together to study God's Word and focus on spiritual things, and I am so glad that you've done that. Thank you for being with us. This morning on the program, I want to talk about some aspects of our life that we cannot control. There are simply some things that we cannot control, and we need to understand that. And the sooner we do, the better we can have a relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I tend to be a person who wants to control things, not necessarily in a bad way, but we want to be responsible. We want to be dependable. We want to be on top of things, and so we control this or control that. We want to be organized. We want to be efficient. We want to carry out our job correctly. We have all these different things in our life that lead us to be someone that wants to control things in a good way, and that's certainly fine. But sometimes people want to control things that they don't have a need to control or that they don't have a right to control, and yet they want to do that anyway. And the problem with a person like that is several-fold, but one problem is they think that they can control certain things in life when they really cannot. And so it just brings needless stress and strain in their mind. There are people that want to control everything. We might call them a control freak. We might call them a controlling person, a backseat driver, bossy, a micromanager. The technical term for a controlling person is officious. Officious. Someone who is controlling something and they do not need to be doing that, or they were not invited to do that, and yet they're doing it anyway. Officious. But I want to talk this morning about some aspects of our life that we cannot control. You know, life is hard enough, but it becomes even more difficult when we try to control the uncontrollable. Trying to control the uncontrollable. What kind of a person are we? You know, when I think about controlling people, there's examples of this in the Bible. One that comes to my mind in the Old Testament is Jezebel. Her husband, Ahab, wanted Naboth's vineyard, and when he asked Naboth for it, Naboth said, "No, this is my vineyard. I need it as a portion of my inheritance." And Ahab let his wife know, and she basically said, in effect, "Don't worry about it, honey. I'll take care of it." And she controlled that situation. She sent out letters saying, invite Naboth to a gathering, a party, and then accuse him of speaking against God and the king. Well, that's what they did, and they falsely accused Naboth of that, and then they went out and stoned him. Well, after he was dead, Ahab took control of his vineyard. Jezebel was a very controlling woman. When I think about that in the New Testament, I think about 3 John, Diotrephes. He loved to have the preeminence. He was a controlling person. First of all, we're told that he spoke against the apostles, and then we're also told that he wouldn't receive certain brethren, and then other brethren, he forbid them to be members in the church. He is a very controlling person. So you've got people like that today, like Jezebel and like Ahab and others, who are control freaks, we might say. That's the term that is often used today. But then these individuals want to control things that they shouldn't be controlling. And so this morning I want to talk about that. I believe it's good to be responsible. It's good to be accountable. It's good to be organized. It's good to get in and help others. But we've got to be careful about controlling what we don't need to control. And if we have a personality like that, we really need to guard that. And a person who does have that personality, they also want to control other things. And so let me talk about some aspects of our life that we cannot control. First of all, we cannot control our lifespan. We cannot control how long we're going to live. We just don't know how long. We know the outer limits. Psalm 90 talks about 70 years or 80 by reason of strength, and my father lived to be 94. You'll hear about some individuals around the world. They talk about how that men and women in Japan, because of their diet and maybe other things, they're living to be well over 100. But at some point, we reach our outer limits in the low 100s and we die. We know the general amount of time that a person can live, but we don't know really our lifespan. We could be taken from this life early or late. We just don't know. Our life is like a vapor. James says in James chapter 4, verse 14, what is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't know how long we're going to live. But what we can know is, and by the way, on each of these aspects, I want to talk about what we cannot control. But what we can do, even in those situations, we cannot control our lifespan. But what we can control is how we live for the Lord each and every day. And we do need to be mindful of that. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And earlier in the verse right before it, he wrote how that Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. We don't know our lifespan, but we do know that we can live for Christ, whether we live or die. We can obey the gospel. We can be baptized into Christ, and we can be raised to walk in newness of life and live that Christian life to the best of our ability each and every day. So we can't control our lifespan, but we can control whether or not we live for Christ or not. Let me encourage you to do that. Paul was excited about serving Christ each and every day. It begins by obeying the gospel. It begins by following the New Testament gospel. If you don't have that in your life, let me encourage that for yourself and those around you. You can't control your lifespan. You can control whether or not you live for Christ. Can I help you to do that today? Here's something else we cannot control. We cannot control other people's actions. We cannot control other people's actions. Life becomes a burden if we feel responsible for the actions of others. And we try to solve all of that and figure all of that out. They're going to give an account for what they've done. You're going to give an account for what you do. You cannot control other people's actions. You cannot control what they say or do to you or how they feel about you. But what you can control is how you're going to react to that. You can control that. And there are so many Bible passages that deal with how we need to react to others. And so, let me just give you a few examples. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. You can either respond to people with anger and wrath and malice and bitterness, or you can respond to kindness. Here's another example in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Put away fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Come on down to verse 10. Put on compassion and kindness and lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. The same thing. You can respond with all those bad attitudes and sinful attitudes, or you can respond to others in the right kind of way. Here's another example in Galatians chapter 5. Paul writes about the works of the flesh: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, parties, envies, drunkenness, reveling. You can respond to people that way, or you can respond with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. You see, you can't control other people's actions, but you can control how you react to those actions. And we need to respond with these godly qualities in our life. You see so much today where somebody upsets somebody else, and they respond with yelling, they respond with anger, they respond with shooting them with a gun. That's an extreme example, but it does happen. You see people responding with revenge. You see people responding with all kinds of things. And so you cannot control other people's actions, but you can control how you respond to that. And not only that, you will be held accountable, I will be held accountable for our actions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of several passages in the New Testament, that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to be held accountable for our works. We're going to be held accountable for our deeds. And that's what we need to be focusing on. Other people, their actions, you cannot control that. In fact, in many cases, they're out of control. But you can control how you react and respond to them, and you're going to be held accountable, and so am I, for the deeds that are done in the body. We need to be focusing on ourselves and make sure that we are right with God. Romans 14:12, each one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's what we need to be concerned about. That's what we need to be focusing on. You know, something else that comes to my mind that we cannot control in life, and that is the past. What's done is done, good or bad. We can learn from the past, and we should. We can call it to mind to look back and see how we could do things differently. We call that hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20. That's certainly good. I believe we should learn from our mistakes. But the past is the past. And especially a past bad experience or a negative lifestyle or an ungodly lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle, we need to let it go. And we need to be forgiven of that by obedience to the gospel. And God will forgive us of that guilt and that sin. We don't have to let it weigh us down and keep us from enjoying the present. God is a forgiving God. We have to obey the gospel on his terms, but we have to let God forgive that and not constantly live in the past and keep us from doing what we need to do now. I know of people who won't change now because they're constantly living in the past. Look at what a bad person I was in the past, and I don't think I can live right today, and God would never forgive me. And it's almost like they're using these excuses for not doing what they need to do today. When I think of someone who let that past go, I think of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, Paul brings up his past life. Part of it, he brings it up to talk about how that he was trying to live the faithful Jewish life. But he was not a Christian, and he had to learn to come to Jesus Christ, and he was baptized into Christ. Acts 22:16, Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And he did that. But he brings up his past. But he's not going to live in the past. He's not going to let the past bring him down. You cannot control what is done. So he brings up the past, for example, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day. That was far in the past. That was right after he was born. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. Howbeit, what things were gained to me in the past, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. Now here's the present, and be found in him. That's what matters. I let the past go so that I can be found in Christ today, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him now in the present, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death now in the present, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. And then he goes on to say, I'm still pressing on, I'm still growing, but I'm not going to let that past weigh me down. Here's another example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul brings up the past. 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I suffer all these things, yet I am not ashamed, for I know him in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know him whom I have believed. He was focused on the present. But when you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, he brings up his past life. 1 Timothy chapter 1:13, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, or one version says, a violent aggressor. Howbeit, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me as chief might Jesus Christ show forth all his longsuffering for an example of them that should thereafter believe on him unto eternal life. I was these things, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, a blasphemer. But I'm not going to focus on that. I was forgiven of that. Friends, you can't control your past, but you can control the present. And you can be in Christ, and you can be forgiven, and you can serve Christ now. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past, no matter how bad it has been, no matter what sin you've committed, you can be forgiven of that if you'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are some other things that we cannot control in life? We cannot control change. We cannot control change. There's all kinds of change in technology. A lot of it's for good. We've got our smartphones that we didn't have before. We've got the internet that a few decades ago we didn't have. And change can be really good. Progress and change can be really good. Sometimes change is not good. But unfortunately, we are powerless to keep things as they are. As much as we would like and try to keep things as they are, the world progresses. Things progress. and there's always going to be change. It comes in all kinds of forms. It's always there. It's always affecting our life. You have to go with it. You have to deal with it. A couple of years ago, when our washing machine broke and the parts to fix it, I had it for about 20 years. The parts to fix it are a lot more than a brand new washing machine. We just decided to get a new washing machine. Well, they act differently. They don't run like they used to. And I've had to get on board with change. The detergent's different. The cycle's different. It doesn't agitate strongly like it used to. There's all kinds of changes that take place. You can't lift up the lid anytime you want to. There's a lock on it and all these different things. I don't know if I'm convinced that it's a better washing machine, but I've just got to accept change. I live in a world where I can't get that old kind anymore. And there's a lot of things like that in our life. You've just got to accept it. But friends, let me tell you this. What you can control is you can hold on to things that don't change. And you can be a part of Christ's kingdom, the church. It does not change. We can be a part of that unchangeable kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the kingdom that cannot be shaken. There are things that do not change. The New Testament does not change. We can obey the Word of God that will abide forever. Peter talks about that we've been begotten again by the Word of God. All flesh is as grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord abides forever. God does not change. Malachi 3:8, I am the Lord and I change not. His character does not change. And we can come to a God that does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, talking about his unchangeable character and nature. God and Jesus do not change. The Word of God does not change. The New Testament scriptures, there's no revisions or additions, or you don't have to get updates like you do on your computer or on your phone. No updates. And you can be a part of a kingdom that does not change, and it will always stand. Daniel 2:44, once Jesus established his kingdom or his church, it will abide forever. Human kingdoms will come and go like the ancient Roman Empire and other empires, and maybe even the U.S. Human kingdoms and governments and nations will come and go, but the kingdom of Christ, that is people who have obeyed the gospel, they will last forever. There will always be a kingdom. And when one generation of Christians dies, there's always another generation of Christians to take its place until Jesus comes again. So, there are some things that you cannot control, and you cannot control the change that is going on. Economic changes, you can't control that, and technology changes. There's changes in the healthcare industry. There's changes in the automobile industry. One day you may not be able to buy a gasoline-powered car. That may be the case. All of them will be battery-operated. I don't know. But those types of things you cannot control. Those are in the hands of somebody else. But you can hold on to things that do not change. And I would encourage you to do that. And then, last of all, let me mention one more thing that you cannot control. You cannot control God's plans that he has for you and the future. Those are in his mind. Those are his plans. He knows. He can foreknow. The scriptures talk about the foreknowledge of God. He knows in advance what is going to be done. The scripture also talks about the foreordination or the planning ahead that God has. He still allows us to use our free will, but He knows things in advance. He plans things in advance. He allows us to use our free will. And you cannot control those things. Those things are in the mind of God. And His wisdom and greatness is vast. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past tracing out. This is not something you're going to know. You can know the revealed will of God. It's revealed in Scripture. You can know that and must know that. And you can control whether or not you obey that or not. But there's other things in the mind of God that you do not know, things that He has not revealed, Deuteronomy 29:29. And those things you cannot control. Paul goes on to say, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? These are all rhetorical questions answered in the negative. We have not been God's counselor. For of Him and through Him and unto Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me give you just one example of this. And even Jesus recognized this. When it comes time for Him to come again, the second coming of Christ, this is something that is in the mind of God. It's by His plan and His choice when that is going to be. Even Jesus recognized this in Matthew 25 and verse 36, speaking of His second coming. But of that day and hour knows no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. This is in His mind. It's His prerogative when He's going to send His Son in the future. You cannot control God's plans. You cannot control, for example, when the second coming of Jesus is. But what you can control is you can be ready when He does come again. We're told different places, 2 Peter 3, 1 Thessalonians 5, that the second coming is going to be like a thief in the night. You cannot control when that's going to take place. But in both places, in 2 Peter 3 and in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul in 1 Thessalonians and Peter in 2 Peter 3, they both talk about how that you can be right with God. You don't know when Jesus is coming again, but you do know that you can be right with Him. And so whatever God's plans are for the future that you don't know about, you do know His plan for the present, and that is to obey the gospel. Friends, there are some people that just want to control everything, but we've got to understand that there's some aspects of our life that we cannot control. Our lifespan, other people's actions, our past, change, and God's plans for the future. Don't bother yourself with that. Spend your time obeying the gospel and living according to God's word and will. And if I can help you with that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.